Well, welcome this morning and to our Sunday School Hour. I was sitting there and debating about the relationship series that we've been going through and kind of realized we had covered most of it and discussed a lot of it in conjunction with the communication part and the relationship part. So I was like, okay, let's kind of move on a little bit into a new subject. And this new series, we're going to talk about the names of Christ. Now, I've been wanting to do a series like this for quite some time. I have some notes that date back, probably to, I'd say, somewhere right around 2015 or so. And I have 15 pages of, microscopic font of just the names of Christ. Not the names of God, but the names of Christ alone. And this isn't even all of them. So when, I don't say that to say we're going to be here in this series till the rapture, but we're going to be, looking at some of these important names. The Bible talks a lot about names. And I think when we begin to realize the importance, and that's what we're going to look at this morning is an introductory part, is the importance about knowing the name of Christ. And when we talk about the name of our Savior, it is, as I'm kind of pointing out here, it is very, very vast. And it explains who He is, what He does, His characteristics, His traits, His attributes. I mean, there is just so much there when you focus on the names of Christ that it truly reveals who He is. And as we've talked about, one of the things that we do as believers is we are to grow in the knowledge of the will of God. Amen? Scripture says that. And in the knowledge of Him. The more we study Jesus Christ, the more Christ-like we're going to be. The more we study Jesus Christ, the more we're going to see the examples He set while He was here of His expectations of us as His children, as sons of God, as He calls us in John chapter 1. So when we think about this subject, I want us to approach it, obviously with a great deal of reverence, but at the same time, understanding how important this name is. Now, it's very unique, and we'll wind up getting into this a little bit when we start talking about the names, and I don't want to give a little bit of a teaser here, I guess, a trailer, but when you start thinking about what He says about His name and how He talks about how He has put His name, or He put His word above His name, and then we realize that the name of God is the Word, you're kind of like, wait, hold on a second. I mean, some people don't understand that, they don't get that, and we'll explore that when we get to that name, but I want us to realize that God places a great deal of importance on this. If God's going to place a great deal of importance on this, this is something that we as believers need to do. I was at a church one time, and I was just absolutely fascinated, and for the life of me, I can't remember what church it was. But it sticks in my mind, and they had a raised platform like this. It was a little bit higher. I think there was like four steps to get up there. I'm lazy. I don't want to go that far. But along the sides where there was a kind of this wall, and then there was areas where the steps were carved out, it was engraved. They had laser engraved all these panels with all the names of the Word, with the names of Jesus Christ. And they didn't, obviously didn't get them all, but you could just sit there and stare at that for hours and read that. And I was like, man, that is a pretty amazing thing that they did there. And the whole concept behind it is that they wanted to say, hey, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we better know what Christ is about. We better know who He is. So that's kind of the intent, if you dare say, the syllabus here of what we're looking at is to go through this and walk away with a greater knowledge of who our Savior is, a greater knowledge of what He has done, what He is doing, and what He is going to do. And when we begin to realize that, we're going to have a closer walk with him. When you start, you know, the whole courting process or dating process, you enter into that stage of where you're trying to get to know somebody, right? You're sitting there trying to, like, you know, okay, what are you about? Who are you? And things like that. And you're doing the whole interrogation. You're bringing out, you know, the truth serum and the car batteries and, you know, the bamboo. You're trying to figure out who this person is. Because, I mean, if you're really intent on, you know, having this person in your life for the rest of your life, you want to make sure that you're getting the right one, right?
Yeah.
So when we think about that, we go through that process, well, you should go through that process, amen, of diligence and making sure that this is truly what your spouse, what you want in a spouse. Well, the same thing is true when we look at God. We need to be doing diligence in knowing him. If we have closer relationships and know more about our spouse or our children or our friends or our coworkers than we know about Christ, then our priorities are wrong. Something is askew. So again, this is the intent of what we're doing with this study. And let's go ahead and pray. We'll get into it and we'll start looking at some of these scriptures. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. And I thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And Lord, above all, the salvation that you have given and this cleansing that we have, the forgiveness of sins, the eternal life, the home in heaven, the relationship with you, the ability to just boldly approach the throne of grace with our petitions and supplications. And Lord, you've done all of this for us. And I just pray that as we study this and look at it, that we, Lord, we'd walk away with this with a greater knowledge of who you are. That, Lord, your Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us and direct our thoughts into those righteous paths, into the paths of holiness, that we would really, really, truly grasp a hold of you and, Lord, begin to love you more than we did before. I thank you again, Lord, for these people that are here. Pray, Lord, you just bless this Sunday school and the Sunday school downstairs. And all of this I ask in your Son's precious, most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we start thinking about the names of Christ, I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. When I was young, I was, I think it was right around the time I got saved in first grade. We were at a Christian bookstore. My mom was beginning her long ministry of teaching children in junior church and being a school chaplain. And we were there, and me and my brother, we were kind of perusing around. You know how kids are, they kind of wander away from their parents. And, you know, of course, when you got a sibling, it's you always got to tag along. So you got me and my brother, we're looking around, we're looking at the little toys and stuff like that. And we come across the bookmarks. And there were these cool bookmarks. I don't know if anybody remembers them or had them. I had mine for the longest period of time, and then it eventually broke apart, and I think it got thrown away. But there was this little bookmark that would deal with the names, and it would say the name, and then it would give the meaning of the name. Because we all kind of know a little bit, or hopefully you do, a little bit of what your name means. And I remember seeing some things like that and what the importance, how important that was to me. And I had a little one that was a little brown, orangish one, and it said Kenneth, and it gave the name, and then it gave this verse. And it would always, this verse would always stick in my mind about that, and I would think about it. And it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I began to realize that this verse has a lot more meaning behind it than just the surface level. Amen? You know, we look at the book of Proverbs, and as I've said before, we often look at it as a common sense, and we look at it as, well, if you just simply do that, I mean, you know, hey, but there is, as he's, you know, Solomon states in the first chapter, there are some darker sayings, meaning that you got to get a little bit deeper. And the more you dig, the darker it is, the more you've got to search for that light. And what we find with this passage is something that's very similar. In verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 22, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver and gold. Now, when you put that in context of a lot of what is going on in the book of Proverbs, you wind up finding that there are very, you know, there's quite a few people that are mentioned. You wind up with the fool, right? We know the fool's there. We know that there's the wise man. We know there's the sluggard. We know that there's individuals that have names that really truly identify what they are. The man void of understanding, meaning that, I hate to say this, he's a little bit of an airhead. I realized one day when we were at a national line out and we were passing out some candies with the prizes and stuff, we were passing out airheads, the little airhead candies, and I'm sitting there going, oh man. Yeah, I thought about the connotation of that, and whenever I see the man that is void of understanding, that's the first thing I think of is airhead. So I'm like, hey, you're a little airhead, here you go, you know, here's the gospel. The Lord smote my heart on that one, so we'll have to find a little bit of a better candy. It was cheap, that's all I'm going to say. But when we look at this passage, we realize that there's a lot of names that we can choose. One of the names that he talks about in the choice that we find in the book of Proverbs is you have the choice of the strange woman or you have the choice of wisdom. And there's her name, wisdom. I mean, that is who she is. And you go through and you find, as it refers to wisdom, it's a book that continually goes back to those main principles, those main chapters, so that when you see the word wise and you see the word wisdom, scattered throughout it, you go back to those and it brings you back to those passages that truly get you to go, oh, hey, this is something that I need. I mean, David told Solomon, he said, get wisdom. Everything else that above everything else that you do, son, here's what you need to get in your life. You need to get some wisdom. Now, I can guarantee you that we've probably all said that to our children. Amen?
Yes.
You probably said, hey, look, you need to wise up. Maybe your employer said that to you. Maybe your spouse said that to you. Whatever it may be, but there needs to be, some wisdom that is found. And when we look at this passage, there's a lot of things that we have to choose. And what the Bible is talking about is choosing something that is good. Choosing something that is good. I know that this kind of, you point out that verse in that word choose or chosen here. Sometimes people that have that mentality, the Reformed theology, it's like, well, you can't choose anything. The Lord's directing you to do everything. Yeah, the Lord's directing you to eat 17 Taco Bell tacos. No, he's not. That's called gluttony. Unless you're going to do some powerlifting later on. But you understand what I'm saying is this is a choice that you have to make. Everybody's going to be faced with a choice. And what name are you going to choose? As it says here in this slide, it says that this verse is often applied to names given to individuals, focusing on the meaning of the name. My brother's name meant beloved. That was one of his things that we saw. Some of the names that I just kind of pulled up just as a kind of fun, what I knew was Brunhilde, which is armored battle maid. How many of you guys, when you were looking for your spouse, I want a Brunhilde. So when I go into battle, she's armored and she's ready to fight. I was like, that's interesting. And then there's Cassiopeia. I've heard and have known of a girl that was named Cassiopeia, and obviously her name was just kind of abbreviated like Kenneth to Ken or Kenny. Her name was just called Cassie. And Cassiopeia refers to, in its true intent, cassia juice. Yeah, which is a tree that you have to go and it's a very long, drawn out, weird process of how you extract this juice and do all these things. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. We think about the constellation, right? Well, no. It has to do with tree juice. This is why sometimes you don't allow what your name means to get out to other children.
Right.
Children are brutal when it comes to names, amen? You ever been around when they find a name that they just like, really?
Yeah.
Really? I remember that back in the day, everyone was taking that name Dorcas, which is a Bible name, and that's where you get the word dork from.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm like, well, that's disparaging. That has nothing to do with it. Why was that? Because they were, you know, making fun of the name. They'd never heard that name before, Dorcas, and they decided to make fun of it. So, I mean, you know, obviously when you're selecting a name for your child, you're wanting to make sure that you're being very careful about that. And you run it through the grade school filter.
I do.
You're sitting there going, okay, well, you know, how's this gonna go? I mean, you know, I always use this as a joke. We were kind of, when we were naming Emma, we actually had another name that kind of we had picked out, and then it just was not fitting after she was born, and we had to obviously make a decision before we left the hospital. And we're sitting there thinking about what are we going to do, what are we going to name her, and so on and so forth. And she was just this tiny little thing, because she was like, 33 days early or 32 days, a whole month early. And she's just this small little tiny thing. She still is. And I was like, wow, okay, so what are we going to name her? I'm thinking like, well, what's small and, you know, petite and delicate? And then I'm starting looking up names, and then it says, you know, all these names that mean small and things like that, and the name Chiquita came up. And for about 3 nanoseconds, as I said, how about the name Chiquita? And Amy looks at me like, and it just, there was that pause, and then it was like, no. I really wasn't, you know, that would be brutal. can you imagine in grade school having that? But what I'm getting at is this, is that, you know, names have a significance. And when we look at this name, and we often look at it to contemplate, well, what does our name mean? You know, the Bible talks about having a good reputation. And it's not a reputation that is for the intent and purpose of your glory and praise, okay? It's your reputation of how you're representing Christ. Hence the word reputation. So when we ask ourselves and say, hey, am I representing Jesus Christ? When somebody hears that name, what do they automatically think of? You know, there's some names that I could mention. If I was to say, and look, I'm not trying to be disparaging, but let's just be honest. If I was to say the name Hillary Clinton, you have a different viewpoint, right? Whereas if I was to say Ronald Reagan, you have a different thought process. If I was to say, a name like, say, George Washington, you have this, what's formed in your head about what you know about the man. You know, I mean, how many of us know about our second president? I mean, he's sitting right here in the second row. John Adams. Were you named after the president? I'm just going to ask you that. Okay. I mean, sometimes we do that. When I was born, they couldn't figure out my middle name. My mom and dad, they couldn't figure out my middle name. They were like, what goes with Kenneth? And I guess at the point in time, there was this semi-famous actor or something by the name of Ken Howard. Some of you are like, who's that? Some of the older people might remember. I don't know. And you're like, Ken Howard? And that's how I got my middle name. It's like, well, that sounds good. It sounds good. It goes together. It flows. And sometimes when we're looking at that, we look for those type of meanings and we look for those type of intents so that when somebody says the name Kenneth Howard Stewart, which, you know, obviously sounds very formal, what is the thought process? What is conjured in our mind about that? And, you know, obviously this verse can have some application in that regards. It can have some application in that regards about, hey, if I'm going to choose a good name, then I need to make sure that my name is actually representing good, which is goodness of God, the good works he's ordained me unto. And we can think about it, and obviously there's an application that is there, but there's another thing that I want us to think about in regards to this good name. I want us to go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're reading through the Bible, and there's all these... Look, when you read through the Bible, you got to give diligence, amen? You got to give diligence at what you're going through, what you're looking at, what you're reading. And sometimes when you're reading through, God puts these little phrases in there that are almost, I mean, they're really hard to always grasp, because when you're reading through, you don't always get them the first time. But when you read through it over and over again, it shows you something. Just as a little side note, this is a bunny trail, bear with me for just a moment. You know how pastors are always saying, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible? And then when you're done reading your Bible, what do? Read it again, amen?
Yes.
You just keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it. And people are like, why? Well, you know, sometimes people watch their favorite movies or their favorite shows all over again because they know what's going to happen, right? They enjoy the movie. They enjoy whatever, you know, it is, or they'll listen to the same song over and over and over again, right? Recently, there was a study that was done that took people that watched the same movies over and over and over again, and they found that they were actually had higher IQs. There was more intelligence that was there. They had greater thought processes. And I'm like, what? Because what you're doing is you're reinforcing a neural pathway. And when that neural pathway is reinforced because you know the movie, you know what's going to happen, there's no fear and anxiety and anticipation, which often causes us to shirk away from those things that are wise. I was like, there's some psychology to that. Specifically when you start talking about reading the Bible over and over and over again. I mean, you may already know what happens in Genesis chapter 3, right? You may already know what happens over what Psalm 23 is about. You may already know what happens for the most of the Gospel of John. You may know, you may go over to the Revelation and go, I know what happens there, but I don't understand a lick of it. But hey, it begins to build and begins to build and begins to build. Coming back off that bunny trail, when you go through the scripture and you get to Genesis chapter 4, there's this little saying that I want us to look at in verse 26 that is always just kind of made me go, hmm. And it says, and Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then look at this little kind of add-on at the end. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. But more specifically, it wasn't they just called on the Lord. It was the name of the Lord. Now, the Lord words things for a very specific reason. Now, why would he put that in there? Because the name of God, the name of the Lord, is a very important name. Now, obviously, you have somebody that is in a Jehovah's Witness, and they'll start talking to you about the real name of God. And you know, I've had them come to my door, and they've said, hey, you know, do you know the name of the Lord? And I'm like, are you referring to Jehovah? And they're like, yeah. Or are you referring to I am that I am? Or are you referring to the mighty God? Are you referring to the everlasting Father? Are you referring to the Prince of Peace? Are you, you know, and they're just kind of like, what are you doing? God's got a lot of names, amen? God's got a lot of names. As I said, I've got these 14, 15 pages here, and I thought it was 10-point font, and I measured it, and I'm like, oh, okay, so it's like 8-point font. There's a few names on that on this list. And when we realize that God said, hey, here's where we're going to start. We're going to start talking about the name of the Lord really early. The name of the Lord really early. Go to over the book of Exodus. We start seeing that this becomes an important trend in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is being called to his ministry, and again, being somewhat reluctant in it. Can't say I blame him, but in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 13, it says this, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses," and it should be bolded, capitalized right there, "I am that I am." I mean, that right there is a complete summarization of who God is. When you start analyzing that from a grammatical sense, you start analyzing all of the words that are there, you begin to realize there is a great deal of importance, and we'll get to that name. But he says, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am," capitalized, "has sent me unto you." Now, it's interesting that the Hebrews would know to ask specifically, "What's his name?" Because if he says something like, it's Horus. He was an Egyptian god. Not a good one. Ra, an Egyptian god. Again, not a good one. I mean, you start going through it, but if he says, "I am that I am has sent me." That has a meaning. That has a power behind it. And it almost looks like in this passage, and I always kind of, you know, maybe I read too much into it. It's almost like, what's the password?
Yeah.
You know, what's this? You know, we have those things when we established a safe word password for our children. That, you know, if somebody comes and says, "Hey, you know, your parents told me to come pick you up." Okay, well, what's the password? And because if they can't give the password, then they don't go. Mm-hmm. Then they know that that's, your parents didn't tell me, but, you know, it was kind of an emergency or something like that. You know, what you do is you're like, as a child, you go, "No, I'm sorry. Until you tell me that password, it's not happening. I'm not going to tell you what our password was." But you understand, this is kind of the same situation. They want to ensure that what Moses is telling them is what is true. Because why? The name of God is associated with truth. The name of God is associated with what these individuals, this nation, was going to follow after. And these leaders that were there, they were saying, "Hey, I want to know exactly who you're talking about. Who really sent you? What's his name?" Interestingly enough, there was an illustration that came up. On the 4th of July, some guy shows up here and wants to park in our parking lot. And he comes in saying, "Hey, your pastor told me I could park here." Now, I have told like one person that I met a while ago at a totally different venue, an event, and we were talking about, they were Ridgefield residents and so on and so forth. And I said, "Hey, you know, if you want to watch the 4th of July, don't worry about parking. You just come park in our parking lot," and so on and so forth. But I didn't know this guy from Adam. I have no idea who he was. I was busy over there yelling at, you know, cars. he tells my wife this, and my wife is, you know, she kind of goes through this process of like, "Who are you and how do you know my husband?" But she doesn't reveal that she's the pastor's wife. She's just like, "Okay, well, what's his name?" He couldn't remember my name. Didn't know my name. And then he walks up to John Aldridge and says, "Well, you got to be the pastor," you know, as if he's the pastor. And John's like, "I'm not the pastor." And then he points back to Amy and says, "That's the pastor's wife." Well, something's fishy.
Yeah.
Something's fishy. Then we're going to have to start putting cones out there, I guess. And, you know, what's the password? I'm going to start giving people a password to park in the back on the 4th of July. I got to come up with a good one. Password is "get off my lawn." something that people will remember, right? That will not be the password, all right? But you understand, is this is what was important to the Hebrew people, is they wanted to know that what that name, what, you know, who is connected to this message, that name that's connected to the message. Who is this? What are they saying? Go over to the book of Psalms, in Psalms chapter 5. And trust me, this is leading to something, Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, in verse 11, it says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." There's something about the name of God that is beyond what people normally think. That's one of the reasons why the Lord said, "Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Why? Because there's importance behind it. I mean, if somebody curses in the name of Ken, big deal. I mean, honestly, big deal. I'd be kind of like, well, that's just rude. But when they take the name of the Lord in vain like that, there's something behind that name. There's an importance behind that name. And we've talked about that when we did a little bit of popcorn preaching about what that really, you know, goes into and what that really means. But when we see this passage of Scripture, we realize he's saying, look, there's something that we love, and it's just simply beginning at the name of Jesus, the name of God, the name of our Lord, that has a very big importance to us, to a believer. I mean, think about that just for 5 seconds. To somebody that is against Christ, that utter you when you utter the name Jesus, they just they cringe and they shirk away. But when you name it, that say that name to a believer, what happens? There's a different response. There's a different reaction. Take a look at these other passages. Go over to the book of John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now, obviously, this John chapter 1 deals with, you know, you're looking at a couple of names here in John chapter 1. I mean, obviously, you've got light, which we were talking about at the men's Bible study. And then you got the name Word of God, which, again, we were talking at the men's Bible study about. But what you find here in this passage, if you jump down to verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Is that the right verse? Hold on a second. 12. How about that one? If I can read. Verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe." Does it end right there?
No.
What are the next few words?
On his name.
On his name. On his name. Why? Because when you think about the name of Jesus Christ, it's not just any old name. When you think about the name of Jesus Christ, it should bring about all these things that we're going to see about him, and it should above all bring about the fact that he came here and he was made in flesh, he was crucified, he bled for us, he died for us, he was buried for us, and he rose again for us. That's the thought process. There's something about that name. Because when you believe on that name, you have to believe everything about him. You have to believe everything about him. And this is where you go back to Proverbs chapter 22, where, you know, it says, a good name is chosen. Yeah, Proverbs 22 is talking about that good name. Not necessarily yours. Because when you chose Jesus Christ and said, "I am a sinner, I need salvation, I need forgiveness of sins. He's the one that's going to provide it. I'm believing in Him. I'm believing what He has done for me. I believe His sacrifice. I believe the power of His resurrection. Lord, save me.
Amen.
That's the name of God. That's the name of our Savior. Because over in Acts chapter 4, turn there. In Acts chapter 4, this is again one of those very important verses that I always like to point out. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus Christ because in verse 10 here, it talks about it where it says that the name, look back up to verse 10, it says, be it known unto you, all you and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Talking about the healing that went on. What was the name? It was that name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You go back over there in verse 12, and this is where it follows up with that same concept, that same thought, where he says, neither is there salvation in any other. He's not talking about just physical healing here. We're talking about spiritual. Amen? Spiritual resurrection. Born again. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, sometimes when you're witnessing to somebody, you'll get an individual that will say something of the nature, well, I believe there's multiple paths to God. There was one guy I was talking to one time, and he said, well, because I quoted the verse, and I said, well, Jesus Christ said that he's the gate. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. He is the way. I mean, those are all things that we know about Jesus Christ, right? And he said, well, I believe that. I'm like, oh, okay. He says, but I believe there's also, you know, like just like your house, there's a back door. I'm like, well, if somebody's coming through the back door and they're not coming through the front door, in my house, yeah. there'll be some grave implications. What are you doing? Why are you coming to the back door? Why are you coming to the front door? Who are you? What does the Bible say about somebody that comes in any other way through the gate? Yeah. And that's typically what they are. They have malicious intent. It's not good what is intended. But what we find here is we find that it says there is no other name. There is no other name. You can invoke the name of the person that has done the most good here on earth. I don't even know who that would be. Because why? Everybody has problems, amen? Everybody makes mistakes. I make mistakes. It happens. All I'm going to say is, thank God for His mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Amen? Here's what I want us to think about. There's no other name. Even if you were to find somebody that was a person that, quote-unquote, was perfect, which there is none, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to use the name of the person that was the wisest, Solomon? You think his name is going to get you into heaven? Go take a look at what God said to him when he went, you know, off into left field. What happened with him? He got messed up with women. He got messed up with a situation where his heart was more in love with that than God. That was a problem. And it's interesting enough, here he is telling his sons, stay away from strange women, and what does he do? I guess it was one of those situations of do as I say, not as I do. But when you look at this passage, you begin to realize that the Lord has placed a great deal of importance on that. His name. Go to Romans chapter 10. When you're showing somebody the path of salvation that God has put, the way that is there, the words of life that we have in our scripture, the great plan that he has, there's a way that you can do it that is often referred to as the Romans Road. We've got tracks back there that that say, you know, go walk through the Romans Road, where you can take the book of Romans, stay in the book of Romans, and walk somebody through the plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. You go to Romans 5, 8. You go to Romans 6:23, and you know, you keep going through all that. You go through the passages in Romans chapter 7, where it talks about sin killing, you know, causing death, and then you get to the point of where in Romans chapter 10 you show them, here's the way of salvation. You know that you're a sinner. Now here's how you fix that problem. Here's how we fix that. Romans chapter 10, and in verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right.
Does it call upon his actions? No, his actions are contained in his name. Is it called, you know, call on anything else? Is it call on the church? Is it call on the pastor? Is it you know, call on your friend? Is it call on another Christian? No, it's calling on the name of our Savior. In coming to that point where that repentance is, if you will, included in that calling, because some people try to separate repentance from the fact of what's going on here, but what do you wind up seeing? You see somebody that is calling out to the Lord, they are turning from themselves. They are turning to God and saying, I know what I am. I need you, God. It's the name. It's the name that we see here. So when we start looking at these names, I want us to kind of keep some of this in mind, that as we go through this and as we walk through each of these individual names, we realize the importance behind it. There's something about that name that isn't just a name. You know, people can change their names. Legally, they can change their names. Maybe they had a name they didn't like. Maybe, you know, for some strange reason, their parents decided, hey, you know, when this child's born, oh man, he looks like a Bocephus. He looks like a Cletus. You're like, what? What's with the Greek words here, you know? And you go through life and you're bullied because of your name for, you know, 12 years of schooling. And you're finally like, I'm done with it. You know, you finally just abbreviate it to, well, what's your name? Bo. Just call yourself Bo. Well, what's Bo short for? What's your legal name? And you're like, oh, man. Do I have to tell you? You tell the name, and then they kind of, as they're writing it down, they kind of do the look up. And then go back and write it, and you're like, oh man, stop. What, you know, they get to a point where they're like, I'm tired of this, and they change their name to Jack. Change their name to Joe. They change it to something, I mean, you know, just plain, because they're just so tired of whatever it may be. People can change their name. But the character of the person never changes. That person is who they are based off of what they're doing and what their heart is fixed upon. Now, obviously, they can change the attitude of their heart, which would result in some change of actions. But many times, people are going to walk around and they're going to carry that connotation with that name. You can change it all day long. It's still not going to change or undo things you've done. And I say that for this one purpose. regardless of whatever name we talk about here, it does not discount the fact that God is our Savior. It does not discount the fact that God has provided the greatest sacrifice of Himself on that cross for us. And there is no other name by which we must be saved than His. And that's where it comes down to. That's where this choosing happens. When we look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 22, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You can have all the money in the world, but if you lose your own soul, the Bible says, a good name chosen. If you're saved, born again, child of God, you chose a good name, amen? You chose the greatest name. And that's what we're going to look at with this series. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the time. Thank You again, Lord, for those that are here this evening, or excuse me, this morning. And Lord, I just pray that You would continue to meet with us and show us and teach us from Your Word all the wonderful things that You have for us. And all of this I do ask and pray in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.